Here we are. 14, 1 and 2. This is what brought about the resurrection day. The plans, the evil plans right here, is what brought about the Easter or Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits is when they celebrated everything was growing and alive again. And this very thing is what Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 tells all about this. And then he was buried for 3 days. He told them, he said, I'll give you a sign. They wanted a sign from me. I said, I'll give you a sign, the sign of Jonah. Sharon, how many times have you heard that Jonah didn't die in the belly, in the belly of the whale or whatever it was? They said he didn't die. He was dead. He died. He lifted up his voice from Sheol, not the belly of the fish, the Leviathan or whatever it was. He was dead. And God resurrected him. Jonah was a type of Christ to come. He was a type of Christ. Now let's go back here where we are in the Kata Markon, the Gospel according to Mark, from Greek. We're going to study a little Greek today in this also. And we're going to read it from the Amplified Bible. Two things here that are very important. It was now 2 days before the Passover. By the way, what day was Jesus crucified on?
You say Wednesday.
Wednesday. All the historical records have Jesus crucified on Wednesday. The Catholic Church names it to Friday later on. But he was crucified on Wednesday, and he died. He was in the belly of the earth, like Jonah was in the belly of the fish, for 3 days, dead. Jesus' body was dead for 3 days and three nights. Not part of 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights. That's what the prophecy was. That was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes were searching for a deceitful way to arrest Jesus and what? Murder him. Matthew 26, 2 through 5, Luke 22, 1 and 2. These are the synoptics. Verse number 2 now. But they were saying, not during the festival, for the people might riot. Wickedness to the nth degree. While he was in Bethany as a guest at the home of Simon the leper. Now Simon the leper, Jesus healed him. Did he not? Did Simon the leper have to go to the priest to prove that he was clean? Did they have to, at his local synagogue, he had to go to the priest to prove he was clean? And after 7 days, they had to go through this. Then he goes and gets two doves, and they kill one and drain its blood in the bowl of water, living water, by the way. They dip the other dove in there and set it free. This was one of the offerings of the leper. They had to declare that he was healed, and Jesus healed him. They had to know that Jesus was Messiah, HaMashiach. While he was in Bethany as a guest at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, a woman came in with an alabaster vial of very costly and precious perfume of pure nard. And she broke the vial and poured the perfume over his head. Now, this happened two times. Did you know that? Two times. But there were some who were indignant, remarking one to another, why is the perfume being wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for more than 300 denarii, a laborer's wage for almost a year. The money given to the poor, and they scolded her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why are you bothering her and causing her trouble? She has done a good and beautiful thing to me, for you always had the poor with you, and wherever you wish, you can do something good to them. But you will always not always have me. Deuteronomy 15:11. She has done what she could, and she has anointed my body beforehand for my burial. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, wherever the good news regarding salvation is proclaimed throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Verse number 9. Now let's go back and look at this from the original language. Ein de to paxa kai ta azuma meta diel hemeras kai zeton hoi archeres kai hoi grammates ton arpos auton en dulo krates antes apoketainusen. Moreover, it kept on being near the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It kept on being near the Feast of Passover. That word there, that aim there, is third person singular, imperfect, indicative, active from aiming. Weak adversative conjunctive particle, 85 there, that little day. And the Pascha. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread after 2 days. And they kept on seeking the chief priest. The chief priest kept on seeking. That, well, look at that word there. That's zealously. That we got a word zetio. That's what it comes from. Zetio, zealous. They kept on seeking third person plural, perfect indicative active. They kept on seeking the chief priest and the scribes. How, little adverb there. Page 358, him is accusative singular masculine third person pronoun, auton. The action is going to him in guile. Look at that word there, little preposition in, our English preposition in comes from that word. In guile, the deceit, in bait. Your little dog went outside a while ago, Sharon. And she's part poodle, and she pointed a quail, whether you saw it or not, because that's her nature, pointed. And a lot of people in a lot of different places over the United States, when they go deer hunting or whatever, they have gone out there and put bait for those animals to come. Bait. That word bait in Greek is doulo, bait. They bait them. Now, they tried to bait Jesus every way they could. They tried to deceive him so they could kill him. What had Jesus done to the national Israel? What had he done to them? He came. He was born in the right place in Bethlehem. He was raised in the right place in Nazareth. He was born of the right family. You know, that Anthony and Cleopatra had established Herod the Great in place of the real lineage of the Jewish kings, and Joseph was in that lineage. He was in the lineage of the Jewish kings. He should have been king. And then after him would have been Jesus, because that was the firstborn son, even though he wasn't his, but he adopted him, didn't he? And so Matthew and Luke give two different genealogies, one of Mary and one of Joseph. Joseph is in Matthew's genealogy because that he was the legal heir to the throne. All of this happened. This, remember when Jesus was born, the Magi, however many of them there were, they could have been 30, of them came to Jerusalem looking for the Son of God, the King that was supposed to have been born. They saw his star. And why were they looking? Because Daniel was taken back over in the east. And he told about, in the Old Testament, about the coming Messiah and the time it would be. Daniel tells the very time he was going to be born. And they saw his star, they said. And they came to Jerusalem, because that's where they thought he should be born. That's the capital of Israel. They came there, and they said, "Where is the king? We want to worship him, the son of the king." And Herod says, gets a hold of the scribes, he gets a hold of the priests, and brings them in and he said, tell me where the king is supposed to be born. And what did they say?
Bethlehem.
Oh, Bethlehem of Judea, even though are little, in you shall be born the king, the mighty one of Israel. So did they know? Did they know who he was? Did they know when he was born? Did they know from the family when he was born? Did they know Mary's family? Did they know Joseph's family? Sure they did. They knew everything about that. Genealogy was everything to the Jewish people. You know that Herod, when he took power, you know that he took and had all the genealogies of the families burned? So they couldn't say that, hey, we are the lineage of the real king. He had them all burned. So he didn't know where they were. He didn't know who it was. They have no record now. So he calls the high priest and the scribes and he said, where is Messiah to be born? He didn't say whose family. He said, where? And they said, Bethlehem. So he told them, well, you go over to Bethlehem and when you get over there, tell me where he is. I'm going to come and worship him too. What did he want to do? He wanted to kill him. Herod was a wicked, 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 wicked man. Wicked man. Herod the Great was a wicked man. Now here they are looking to kill Jesus. They know who he was. In his local synagogue there, when he got up and said, and when he read the scripture where it says, this day is this fulfilled in your hearing? What did they want to do? Did they shout hallelujah? Did they shout praise the Lord? What did they do?
Try to kill him.
They wanted to kill him. Now, when Jesus was taken in to be circumcised into the temple area, there was an elderly woman there that had, ever since she had become a widow, she had set her life aside. She went in there and she worshipped and she served God. And there was an old man there also. And he said, when they saw him, he says, let me die now, Lord, I have seen your Messiah. And the king, the lady prophesied also. So did they know this happened?
Yes.
Yeah, they did. The Messiah was going to come and he's going to heal the sick, remember? Mm-hmm. He was going to heal the blind, which no one had ever done. Did Jesus do all these things? Did he cleanse the lepers? In the next few verses, we'll find that he went into Simon the leper's house. When they went into Simon the leper's house, that house was cleansed and so was he. They had to cleanse the house. They had to give a certificate of health, so to speak. And who did it? The scribes and the priests. And yet, did they want to accept Jesus? We know that Pontius Pilate had interviewed Jesus long before this, when he heard him preaching and everything. He had Manlius, his servant, to go and listen to him and see what they said. And he said, what's he saying? What are they saying? And he said, well, he said, there's nothing terrible about it. He said, pay your taxes. Render to Caesar what is Caesar, the God, what is God's. And then he had him come into the praetorium. Now, Jesus wasn't too good to walk in there, was he?
No.
He walked in there. The Jews wouldn't walk in there because they would defile themselves. The woman at the well, when Jesus spoke to her and told her about her sins and told her he was Messiah, they thought that he was committed a terrible crime because he spoke to her. See, he wasn't like the rest of them, like the rest of the priests. When Jesus walked into the praetorium, into the hall where Pontius Pilate met him, Pontius Pilate said, and I'm quoting this from history, Pontius Pilate said, it felt like my feet were nailed to the floor, and my tongue was, I couldn't speak. Until he spoke to me, he said, I thought I was in the presence of deity. I really thought I was in the presence of deity. And he wrote this to Tiberius Caesar, his father-in-law, which was Caesar. He told him that. And then he told him there, He said, they want to kill you, kind of back off on these guys. And he said, I have to do what I have to do. He said, I want you to know, whatever happens, I will be on your side. I'll try to protect you. And he said, when my time comes, O Prince of this earth, there is nothing you can do. Now, his time was going to come. Today, we celebrate the resurrection. This is the wickedness that put him on that cross right here. This is the wickedness. But the Bible said that he should die on the cross. The Bible said that he would be crucified 800 years before crucifixion was invented. That's something. But he's going to be crucified. Now, let's just think about that for a minute also. Jesus, if he was stoned to death, could he actually control the moment that he released the Spirit? No. If he had been beheaded, could he have done that? No. If he had been strangled, now these are the forms of Jewish execution. If he had been strangled, could he release his spirit at that moment? No. But when he was crucified, he was on the cross, and when he said, it is finished, and he released his spirit, he gave up his spirit and walked into eternity again. God, the Son, broke into the space and time when he was born in this world, and when he released his spirit, he was back in eternity again. He always was. But he came into this world to save our souls. That's why he came in this world. He came in here to save our soul, because we can't do it. All the Jewish people, they thought that they were keeping all of the 713 laws or whatever it was that they were to keep, and some of them, some groups of them even believe that they, if they don't keep them, that they have a chance to come back and be reincarnated and keep them again, and maybe they're born a Gentile and then become a proselyte. But the whole story is that Jesus came into the world. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, Paul writing there says, for I repeat unto you the gospel which I've received, that Jesus Christ came according to the scriptures, that he died according to the scriptures, that he was raised according to the scriptures, and many people witnessed his resurrection to Anastasia, the standing again. Again, let's see what happened. What got him there to the cross? This is what got him to the cross. Did he do any evil? No. Did he castigate them for using and abusing the people falsely? Yes. Did he tell when the woman threw the smallest denomination of coins into that trumpet that went down into the box? What did he say? She has given more than all the rest. They wanted that thing to ring as the coins went down there. It was like a bugle, and it would go tinkle, 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 tinkle with the little coins in there. Bam, 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 bam. That's big coins. They dropped the big coins in there. Look how much I gave. And Jesus said, you gave nothing. She gave it all. You gave your surplus. She gave it all. Let's go and read this again. And it kept on being, what we kept on being, the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, 2 days. And they kept on seeking. Zealously they kept on seeking. Third person plural, imperfect, indicative, acting. The chief priests and the scribes, how him in guile, by deceit, by baiting him, trapping him, having latched on and seized him, they might kill him. Nominative plural masculine, first aorist participle active. They would latch on and seize him. That comes from kratio there, that kratesantes. Having seized with the hand, him, they might kill him. Third person plural, present subjunctive active. They wanted to, but they didn't know whether they could do it or not. They didn't know. But God had already written they would. They wanted to completely do away with him. They said, why did they want to kill him? Because the people listened to him. He healed the people. He gave them hope. He gave them eternal life. Now, He said, your sins are forgiven. They said, who can forgive sins except God? He was God. They didn't like being the lower part of the totem pole. They wanted to be at the head. They wanted to be first. Jesus didn't put them down, so to speak. He fulfilled his prophecy. They should have known Isaiah 53. They should have known Psalm 22. When he was on the cross of Calvary, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. He spoke it in Aramaic and Hebrew. That's Psalm 22 and 21. He says, my God, Eloi, Eloi, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because for you and for me, that's why. That's why he let him die on the cross of Calvary. For us and for them. He died for them. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And that one insurrection, that one Sicari on one side said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, today you shall be with me in paradise. Paradiso. That's an old word. That's a prayer. That is a guarded pleasure park. That's what it was in way back in Persian. Then it came into Hebrew. Paradise, paradise. Came into Greek, paradise, paradiso. Came into English, paradise. Today you shall be with me in paradise. And he was. They weren't out of joint anymore. They didn't have the nails to their hands. They weren't bleeding anymore. And they had eternal life that day in paradise. But the rest of them, the skulking rats out there, that after he was taken down on the cross, they put him in a tomb. And they wanted to seal the tomb. And they asked Pontius Pilate, give us a Roman guard over there. He said, do your best with your Herodian guard. Jump in the creek. Jump in the creek. But he sent his men to watch him because he didn't trust him. He said, it'll be worse now than ever because he said he would raise the third day. His disciples didn't know that, but those rats did. They listened. The disciples just didn't understand. Why did he have to die? Why did he have to die? They didn't understand, but the scoundrels did. The lawbreakers did. They understood it. In verse number 2 now, 14:2, Elegon gar me ente erorte me pote este thoribos tu lai. The laity. And they kept on saying, for they kept on saying, not in or during the feast. They didn't want to defile themselves. They wouldn't walk in there when they were trying Jesus and demanding that he would die. They didn't want to walk into a Gentile's floor because it would defile them. But what about the murder in their hearts? What about the deceit? What about the perjury? These were all terrible sins. They didn't keep any of the law. When you broke one law, you broke it all, didn't you? You broke one, you broke it all, and they broke it all. Not a one of them could look in God's face and say, I've kept the law, because they broke it. In the feast, during the feast, lest not, little particle negation, page 268, when, a little enclitic particle there, interrogative enclitic particle, pote, when it shall become trouble. Look at that word, este. That comes from Amy. That's third person singular future, indicative middle. It shall cause trouble for itself. Trouble. Thoribos. Disturbance. An outward expression. Eden. An outward expression of a commotion. A commotion of the people or from the people. It's either genitive or oblative there. Belonging to the people, the commotion, or from the people. Probably from the people. From the people. We see this beautiful story. The story that saved us. The story that gave us eternal life. After they killed him, he rose again. He stayed in that grave for 3 days and 3 nights, and then nothing could have held him back. The whole universe, all the powers of Satan could not have held him in that grave. And by the way, the angels didn't have to open the door to the tomb, the rock. He walked through it. They opened the door so the disciples could see he wasn't there. He walked through it. He walked through it. He is our Savior, living Savior today. We need a living Savior to keep on forgiving us in perfect tense. We need that every day. We need our forgiveness. We need forgiveness every day. I'm saying to you, I don't care how good you think you are, you can't walk in the presence of God without the blood of Jesus Christ. He is our Savior. Our Father, we send this message out this day for your honor and glory. Thank you for it. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for the time of the year that we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of your Savior for the world, your HaMashiach, your King, our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Please forgive me where I failed you. Amen.